gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. David Bender, our buddy, our pal, coming up with a very exciting announcement in just a little bit. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Carbonite, do it. Do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. Get it. Do it. Wow. We were talking a lot yesterday about Daryl Asshat.
Yes.
From out here in California. ISA. Pardon me. I always get that wrong.
Yes. From down there in San Diego.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Jim agreed with me, looks roided out, and so I think that's the first investigation he needs to do into his own steroid use.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, do I have a treasure trove of information about Daryl Asshat this morning.
Do we have fun facts?
Well, first of all, before the midterm elections, Daryl Issa railed about the misconduct of the Obama administration, even went on Rush Limbaugh's radio show and told him that Obama was one of the most corrupt presidents in modern times.
Oh, dear.
Based on something. With a Republican takeover of the House of Representatives and the Senate were within sight at that particular time when he was talking to Rush Limbaugh, he vowed as chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee he would bring justice to Washington. But then on the Situation Room, he stepped back a little from the remarks he made during the campaign. He still insisted on using corrupt, though, as a description of the president. He said when you hand a president nearly $1 trillion in walking around money, he uses it for political paybacks. That's corrupt. Does he have that? Based on what? How political paybacks? How exactly?
What $1 trillion of walking around money was he handed?
First of all, there's no evidence of that at all. That they were any of it was political paybacks. The stimulus money went to create jobs, and it did.
Yes, it did.
Okay. When Wolf Blitzer pressed him, he said, do I think the president is personally corrupt? No, I should never have implied that or created that in a quick statement on a radio call-in. Yeah, I can see how you would, someone would might draw the crazy conclusion that you had implied that by saying, oh, here it is, he's one of the most corrupt presidents in modern times. I can see how someone might have, from that, drawn the implication that you think the president is in some way corrupt.
Corrupt.
Huh. First of all, I'm trying to keep a straight face before I get to the Daryl Issa fun facts about several other things that might be investigated regarding Daryl Issa.
Oh, good.
In the past. Just FYI. GTK. Mr. Captain Corrupt. Captain Corruption Stomper. Exactly. Issa said he wanted bipartisan cooperation in his witch hunts of the president. Yeah, he doesn't mean it in a partisan way. So what kind of investigations would ISA be interested in? He's mentioned ACORN, which no longer, of course, exists, so that's very important.
Right.
For the American people. That's very important going forward. Also, he wants to, for supposedly, quote-unquote, bribing Senator Joe Sestak. Also very important, since Joe Sestak just lost. It's very important going forward for Americans that... By the way, as the Associated Press says, it makes little sense in that the president can appoint anyone he wishes to a government post.
So yes.
There really is nothing.
There are no restrictions on
that.
Yes,
and it wasn't. And the other thing is, it wasn't even a paid position. It's not. There's nothing there.
Right.
But this is what he's going to spend his time and our tax dollars on.
Bush certainly proved that you can appoint anybody to a government post, i.e. Brownie.
Mm-hmm. Still, it is understood that Daryl Issa is gunning for President Obama and other high-ranking members of his administration, possibly for impeachment. Again, we don't know for...
Which high crime or misdemeanor are you going to impeach him on?
Regardless of his more conciliatory remarks to Politico and CNN. I think Hal Sparks said this yesterday. This is what happens. He's got, you know, he went on Bill Maher and you think, oh, he doesn't seem that bad. And, you know, it's like they try to come off charming and, oh, I'm not going to do this or that.
Yeah,
and,
but then they go on the right-wing asshat shows and they become
Well, I mean, but this guy has a history of, he is just a pure partisan Republican hatchet man and he always has been.
Mm-hmm.
Why would, so here's the rub. Why would Daryl Issa back away from the confrontational rhetoric he brandished so cavalierly during the midterm election campaign? Yeah. Possibly because Republicans didn't win the Senate, which he, of course, he thought for whatever reason they were going to, saying something he would need to remove President Obama and any other elected officials that might be impeached by the House of Representatives. In fact, he would need a two-thirds majority of the Senate to convict and remove an individual from office, a majority he now knows he cannot achieve.
Right.
Will that stop Derek Issa from deposing and subpoenaing every Democrat in Washington?
Computer says no.
No, many insiders say no, will not. Republicans have an overwhelming majority, of course, in the House of Representatives now. They do not need a Senate conviction to reach a decision of impeachment and therefore embarrass the sitting president, which is kind of always what this has been about. The article ends, the Obama administration has been notified. The siege begins January 3rd, 2011. That's what you voted for, kids. There you go.
I still want to know.
Investigating Acorn, which doesn't exist anymore, and
I still want to know what high crime or misdemeanor Daryl Issa thinks he can impeach the president on.
He doesn't need one. Here are, okay, well, so
you kind of do. The Constitution says you kind of do.
Can I have my crime blotter music, please?
Oh.
Here are a couple of things that Daryl Asshat might want to. First of all, I think we have to start with his steroid abuse, because you know what I'm saying? If he's all roid ragey, he can't be expected to conduct these hearings in a reasonable fashion. I'm just saying. Look at his jawline. Look at his...
Well, you don't get a jawline like that
like
from steroids.
Aquaman.
You get it from human growth hormone.
Well, whatever. That's what we can find out in the first investigation. Okay, secondarily, he seems to have a... Well, yesterday we discussed his long history of car thievery, which... Which I guess it's... You know what I'm saying? If maybe it happened once, you go, oh, okay, because, you know, both of the cases were dropped for lack of evidence. But you're going, gee, that's a lot of cases.
How many cases are there?
It appears to be
reams
a
and
few.
Reams.
Mm-hmm. But let's start with something else first.
Okay.
ISIS's army record in doubt, according to the San Francisco Examiner in 1998. He says during the Vietnam War, he served with an elite army bomb unit traveling with then-President Nixon to protect him from harm.
Mm-hmm.
He attended baseball's World Series in 1971 as part of the president's entourage, mm-hmm. Issa once told an interviewer. Military records obtained cast doubt on his stories. Issa could not have guarded Nixon at the World Series because the president did not attend, according to the Nixon Presidential Library.
Zoinks!
According to records and interviews, Issa's service on the bomb squad was marred by bad conduct rating, a demotion, and allegations he had stolen a fellow soldier's car. Oh, there's that again. Oh, look at that popping up again. And ironically, made his million selling car alarms.
Does he
to protect cars against thieves like him?
Well, I suppose
allegedly.
If you know how to steal a car, you know how to protect a car
apparently
from being stolen.
Awfully clever. I need to start thinking of a crime to commit that I can then think of something that could impede me and therefore make millions of dollars protecting something from thieves, from criminals like me.
Although I don't know how effective Viper car alarms are from getting cars from being stolen, because you hear them going off all the time, but nothing ever happens.
Even more clever, it's probably allowed him to steal several more cars since then because of his crappy car alarms.
Could you hear it?
Allegedly, I have no evidence, but he doesn't have any either. For Obama's impeachment or anything else.
I mean, when someone hears a car alarm, who looks out their window anymore to see if a car's getting stolen?
I'm just saying, some people say Daryl Issa has probably stolen a lot more cars since the actual cases.
Some people
say. Exactly. Okay, although Issa's campaign biography says he served 9 years in the Army, a record show he served 5 years.
Nope.
One former GI says he has a different memory of Issa. That kid stole my car out of the parking lot and took it to Cleveland, and I knew he did it, said retired First Sergeant Jay Burgee, who served with Issa in 1971. I confronted Issa, I got in his face and threatened to kill him, and magically, my car reappeared the next day, abandoned on the turnpike. Issa was not prosecuted, and he left the unit very shortly after that, the former soldier said.
Does he have some sort of fetish or something where he needs to steal cars?
There's more. Did I say arson?
You didn't mention the arson.
What? This is the guy in charge of investigating the Obama administration? Okay. It's just called in the article a fire. A fire labeled suspicious by the Ohio Fire Marshal broke out at a Maple Heights company ISA was running in 1982, insurers and the Ohio Fire Marshal's office, which cited burn pattern indicating that a flammable liquid had been poured, also explored the possibility of arson, according to records reviewed. Okay. 3 weeks before the fire, I'm sure this is all just coincidence.
Oh, sure.
3 weeks before the fire, ISA had quadrupled insurance coverage on parts and equipment in the building.
Insurance fraud?
He had ordered that a computer be removed for reprogramming about a week before the fire. Oh, I'm sure there was just a light broken on that computer, and he had to have it taken up to his shop.
My sweet little tot.
He sounds just like this.
Santa Claus lied. There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there.
Sure.
Then I'll bring it back here.
No! Thank goodness I got that out of here before the fire! Okay. Let's see. And, wait, there's more. According to transcripts of employee interviews wanted equipment blueprints normally kept in a filing cabinet to be put in a fireproof box. I'm sure that's all just coincidence. Let's see. Just let's review, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks before the fire, quadrupled insurance coverage on parts and equipment in the building. Ordered a computer be removed for reprogramming a week before the fire. Wanted equipment blueprints normally kept in a filing cabinet to be put in a fireproof box. Joey Atkins' former partner told an insurance investigator he believed ISA started the fire.
Oh.
He repeated the charge in a recent telephone interview with the plane dealer, saying the business at the time needed cash and an insurance settlement would be a way to get it. There you are, the man investigating.
Arson and insurance fraud.
Did we mention car thievery?
Many times.
Okay, there it is. That's it. And I haven't even gotten to the top 10 Daryl Issa Hall of Shame moments, which I will get to after the break.
That was a hell of a crime blotter this morning.
Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd. Oh, goodness. I can only hope that somehow I'm dragged into some investigation. I can only hope if I'm dragged before his committee, I'll have a few things to bring up in my answers. All right. I have, you know what?
You know what would save your computer from a fire?
What?
Carbonite.
Carbonite would. I have all of my Daryl Issa evidence on my computer. And if should there be a suspicious fire at my house, Daryl Issa doesn't know that I have carbonite.
He does now.
I can get it all back. Still, why didn't you warn me? I mean, I don't have carbonite, but you should. Okay, think about all those important files and evidence you have saved on your computer. Maybe you're not clever enough to think of fireproofing it and having it removed right before a suspicious fire. What happens if tomorrow all of that stuff on your computer disappears? That's why you need to sign up for Carbonite Online Backup today. Automatically backs up the files on your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the internet. $55, that's it for the entire year.
Yep.
You heard me right. $55 for the entire year. Plus, you can remotely access your backed up files from any computer. I have,
and you can access it from your iPhone if you have the Carbonite app.
It's cool. It's crazy.
I know. Or
BlackBerry. Hello.
Or BlackBerry.
I have a BlackBerry. Thank you. Go to Carbonite.com today, right now. Use my offer code Stephanie. Get this special offer: 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Don't wait until it's too late, because then I will need to call you a whambulance. As I often have with listeners that lost manuscripts, musical compositions, whatever. Go to Carbonite.com right now. Use the offer code Stephanie for your free trial and 2 months free. If you subscribe, Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. 19 minutes after the hour. Top 10 Daryl Issa Hall of Shame moments. As we noted, roided out car thief Daryl Issa, allegedly. Next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. It's a fabulous program.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, thank God I'm not alone in the pineapple upside down world. Tristan writes, Steph, I stopped at the post office yesterday. There were people outside trying to get people to sign their impeach Obama organization stuff. Let's see. He says, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, Bush, the one who should have been impeached, is traveling the country selling his pack of lies book. Thank you, Tristan. Admitting to war crimes on national television.
Right.
An asshat, Daryl Asshat, is trying to impeach Barack Obama? For what? Oh, it's just, isn't it a weird, you know, perspective? You're watching President Bush literally admit to war crimes on television and then being all chuckly. On television. And Daryl Issa is moving forward with trying to impeach Barack Obama. Huh?
Yeah. Okay. I heard on the Bill Press Show this morning, the ACLU is saying that ordering someone to commit a crime in and of itself is a crime. So he's actually bragging about...
I'm not a lawyer, Chris, but I think read the book probably wouldn't be considered the best defense they've ever heard at the Hague.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking you. Read the book. Okay. How about a little historical perspective on Daryl Asshat?
Okay.
Just so we know who's who. Oh, did I mention noted alleged car theft and roid user? Some say.
You say. You and Jim say.
I think this should be an ongoing thing, that whenever you mention Daryl Issa on my show, you just make up something that you've heard. Because that's pretty much how he's basing his investigations.
I heard he
uses... Just on something.
Some people say he uses shoe polish as hair color.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that. We don't know if it's true, just some people say that.
Some say.
Yes. So I think we should categorize him as a different, you know, something that we don't have evidence of just because.
Yeah.
Why not? Okay. This is a little high school educational perspective, a little historical perspective on Daryl. Because people may not know, hey, who is that asshat with the shoe polish in his hair that's clearly roided up? Top 10 Daryl Issa Hall of Shame moments. Sue in Maryland had it was delightful. She did a little digging on the interwebs yesterday. She mentioned this one, Daryl Issa's stunning statement that reducing the 9/11 attack on the U.S. to a simple plane crash was the latest outrage. After all, the one-time accused car thief turned car alarm magnet. Come on. This would be a Joe Pesci character if you didn't, wouldn't it? If you didn't, okay. He attacked the families of dead Blackwater contractors, accused Valerie Plame of perjury, played a vital role in purging a U.S. attorney, just to name a few others. Also, we've got another crier on our hands, cried like a baby. You remember that?
Really?
When he announced his withdrawal from the California governor's race? Oh, he made... seriously, he makes John Boehner look like a John Wayne.
When did the Republican Party become the party of pussies?
Yeah, they need to man up, all of them.
God.
Bunch of blubberers. And again, always crying about themselves. Apparently, what an enormous loss that was to the state of California that he wouldn't get to be governor. All right. Oh, now I'm not going to have time for all this, but I'll do the best I can. Okay. Top 10 Daryl Issa Hall of Shame moments. Desperate to refuse federal funds to the ailing workers who rushed to Ground Zero, Issa denied the September 11th carnage was an attack on the United States at all. What? Issa said the destruction of the World Trade Center didn't involve a dirty bomb or a chemical weapon designed to make people sick. It was simply an aircraft. A residue of an aircraft and residue of materials used to build this building. So that's why he didn't think they deserve any kind of care. Nothing. Okay. In 2003, Issa led the effort to recall California Governor Gray Davis, which, you know, really he was a victim of Enron. Part two, though, of the Issa plan to capture the governor's office himself abruptly ran aground when Arnold Schwarzenegger decided to get in the race. Oops. Things of this nature. he claimed it had nothing to do with Schwarzenegger's decision. At the time, he wept uncontrollably as he made his premature withdrawal from the California governor's race. Among the low points in Issa's career as a Bush sycophant was his vicious defense of the mercenary firm Blackwater. He attacked four women whose family members were killed by Iraqi insurgents and dragged through the streets of Fallujah. He said, although I don't think your testimony today is particularly germane to the oversight of this committee, I'm deeply sorry for the losses you've had. One question I have, though, is the opening statement. Who wrote it? That's nice. That's nice and snarky. Ass-hatty. He, not content to merely confront Ambassador Joe Wilson during his testimony, he accused both Wilson and his wife, Valerie Plame, of perjury based on nothing. But, you know, that's how irrational you get when you're on that many steroids, allegedly. That's what I've heard. All right, we'll get to some more Daryl Issa Hall of Shame moments. And David Bender joins us as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
silly and soft.
Yeah, and she also sheds, eats out of the garbage, and can't control her bowels. Why don't we just call Duluth Mental Hospital and say...
Stephanie Miller.
...can live with us.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I bring you the God of Hellfire, David Bender from the Ring of Fire. Hello, David.
Hey, Stephanie.
Good morning, honey.
It is a good morning. Whenever we can hear about Daryl Issa in such detail, it is a great morning in America.
Oh, you refer to alleged car thief and roid user, Daryl Issa.
It's interesting you talk about the roid use, because remember, he was on the committee that had Roger Clemens.
Yes, he was awfully defensive of Roger Clemens, huh? It seems almost like he has some sort of personal issue with that.
What's that about?
And he's from close to Tijuana, where roids are easily available.
We're just saying.
By geographical association.
That's right.
Is that enough for impeachment? It's as much as he has on the president.
I think so. That's a high hat and misdemeanor. You know, he has said, as you pointed out, he said that, you know, he doesn't think impeachment's going to happen. But here's the problem. If they start doing what they're doing and they start pulling all these documents out, remember, this is what happened with a guy named Ken Starr.
Yes.
This has nothing to do with anything other than what Mitch McConnell said. David. Mitch McConnell.
Thank you for that historical perspective. That's what I remember screaming during that whole thing with Clinton. It's like, why are we investigating the president's private life in the first place, you know?
Because it started with a land deal in Arkansas.
Yeah.
And that's what people forget, is when they go, they start pulling at these threads, and they have no interest in the land deal in Arkansas or in whatever it is that Daryl Issa and company are going to subpoena. Now, something, Steph, I went and looked at, which is that Harold Ickes, when he was deputy chief of staff for Clinton, understood in 94 when the Republicans took over what they were going to need to do. They had to go out and watch this. You're going to see this over the next few months as the Obama team reshuffles. They have to hire people. They literally have to wall them off. It's a firewall, because all that's going to happen for the next 2 years are these subpoenas are going to be issued. And the people who get the subpoenas can't talk to their colleagues about what the documents they're producing. So they have to hire people within the White House in the West Wing whose sole purpose it is to respond to these investigations, and they are walled off from their colleagues, and it's a nightmare. And that's designed to make government more efficient.
Well, David, that's exactly it. I have to ask you, I mean, do you think at any point, I mean, the American people are really going to wake up and realize what we've just done in this election? You know, that all of this stuff they ran on pretty much is a bunch of, you know, I mean, they told us ahead of time, this is about, taking the president down. It is
you
not
mean a, it's all just a dream like Dallas and who shot JR?
Yes.
They were going to wake up in the shower with Daryl Issa at some point? Is that your hope?
It's just, but you know, the country literally, David, cannot afford this now. You know, I mean, obviously the economy was in better shape back when Clinton was went through all this. I mean, this is really scary to me now.
But it is through the looking glass. The problem is, at a time when we can't afford it, when the economy is at its worst, we are going to grind the government completely to a halt. And one of the things, you know, we know we have a lame duck session of Congress coming up. The Democrats are still in control next week. But the Republicans are basically saying, if you do anything in this session while you're in control, we are going to blast you. I don't know what they're afraid of. They've already lost the election.
But that's exactly. I mean, they are and continue to be bullies. You're absolutely right, and that's what I wonder. It's like, wait, it literally is like that freedom after you've already been fired. What are they going to do?
It should be very liberating, and there's some things on the table. And to that point of the economy, right now, if they don't pass stopgap spending measures, things like unemployment insurance will run out at the end of the year. And this is what the Republican Party is going to use to hijack those Bush tax cuts. They're going to say, you want to get an extension of unemployment benefits or anything necessary to keep the government running, even now, even in the short term, you're going to extend those tax cuts. That's the game that is being played right now, Steph. And it is a game. It has only one purpose. And again, in Watergate, it was follow the money. Here it's follow Mitch McConnell. Watch his lips move, which don't normally go with anything. But in this case...
We think he had a Novocaine-related accident with his upper lip.
There's no question about it. And in fact, it's withdrawal from that. But here's what he has said. It cannot be repeated enough. Mitch McConnell flat out said, our principal goal is to make Barack Obama a one-term president. That's all this is about for the next 2 years.
Yeah. And if Daryl Issa can do it by impeaching him for something, then even better, I guess.
I don't know that he'll, I actually am not sure that they will go because they're afraid of the backlash of impeachment. Remember what happened after impeachment was that worked against Republicans in the next election. It was not to their, and they've learned that lesson. They will do everything but impeach. They're going to try and go after other people within the administration. It's the Van Jones strategy.
Maybe President Obama should preemptively announce that he's had a BJ and dare them to impeach him. No.
And from whom? let's have a contest to see if we can identify who will stand up and do that.
Now, let's talk about the first casualty in the teabagger Republican wars. Of course, Bat crazy Michelle Bachmann.
Ooh,
yes.
She was going to be a leader in the House of Representatives.
Sure.
She was running for the third top job in the House. Turns out, Steph, that there are a couple of reasons that she's not going to get it, aside from being bat bleep crazy, which
crazy.
should be a criterion but isn't. The one of the other factors is it turns out she's very cheap. She was the one who was raising tons of money for her own reelection, had millions of dollars coming in from everywhere but her district, but she didn't give it to anybody else.
Yep.
And her Republican colleagues sort of remembered that. So
yeah.
She is,
well, that and the fact that she's a national embarrassment every time she opens her mouth.
And television. Again, that's not the criterion. If it were the Sarah Palin reality show,
so now
canceled before it starts.
Yeah, right. How about the next teabagger Republican establishment fight over earmarks? I mean, you have Rand Paul doing a startling, a startling about face about that. He campaigned against earmarks. Now he says he's all for them. And so now the fight is between DeMint and McConnell on this, right? Whether they're going to.
It is interesting because DeMint is the guy who will plant himself on this crazed principle of, basically he wants to shut down the government. Their goal, they would be happy, unlike, the lesson Newt Gingrich in 94, they would be very happy to shut the government down. So killing these earmarks, killing, debt ceiling increase, all of those things are on the table for the Jim DeMints. Over earmarks, here's the problem. These very people who understand that the key to their reelection is what have they done for me in my state. Mitch McConnell, the king of the earmarks. This is what he's taught Rand Paul.
Yep.
At first he opposed me. He said, you want to be here for as long as I have, you make sure the people of Kentucky get those projects.
I would give anything to be a fly on the wall for that My Fair Lady session that went on. And it was like the Evelyn Wood version, the speed version in his office.
Ow.
Son, I'm going to make you a senator today. I'm going to make you a man.
Yeah, man up, Rand Paul.
Pork. I say we need pork. Yeah. Fairly stunning. I mean, I love it. And, you have to say, this has become already a circular firing squad. And Scott Brown is now the number one target of the Tea Party.
And wait until we get to Utah. You've got Orrin Hatch in the next cycle. They're going to go after Orrin Hatch for not being conservative enough. What planet are these people on when Orrin Hatch – and they'll get him, like they got his colleague Bob Bennett. They will get these people who are not it is to the right of Attila the Hun. That is the standard now. You really have to be jihad crazy to be a Republican. And that's what they are.
Let's talk about the Democratic side and what's going on, because obviously the big story overnight is some Democrats, of course, pressing Pelosi to step aside. She's announced she'll run again, and so it's and it's part of this larger argument now, right, about going on between the between the liberal and the more conservative Democrats as to what direction the party. Of course, centrists now are saying we need to tack to the middle. Obviously, liberals say we need to reinvigorate core supporters. Blah blah blah.
Let's do the math, Stephanie, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
It goes like this: four progressives, four members of the Progressive Caucus in the House of Representatives lost. Four of them. 24, or half of the Blue Dogs, lost. So surely on math, out of 180 some odd Democrats remaining, the bulk of them are progressives. Nancy Pelosi has no worries. The people who are crying out are the two or three or four blue dogs who are left.
Right. And in my opinion, Dave, I don't know where you come down on this, but they're the reason largely that this happened.
Absolutely.
It was them helping Republicans, you know, 100%. Impede things. Yeah.
100%. And the problem we're going to see it now, Steph, in the Senate is the same problem, because look at the margin. This is what I was most worried about on election night was, and I think we talked about this, is that if it was down to 51 or 52 Democratic senators and the margin was Ben Nelson from Nebraska, the newly elected Joe Manchin, he who shoots the cap and trade agreement right. in a TV commercial, and Joe Lieberman, Lieberman for Lieberman Party, Connecticut, those they're trying already. And Mitch McConnell and company have been trying to flip any of them. And even if they don't flip them, the ability to get anything done in a so-called Democratic Senate, it was one thing with 58 or 59, and in fact, difficult to do, as we know. Should have been easier.
Right.
But with two or three, and those are the blue dogs that are the margin, that's a nightmare. I agree with you 100% that Nancy Pelosi not only should be the leader, but should plant herself firmly on this position of, we did everything right. You're going to come around to us. Remember when Howard Dean ran for the Democratic nomination back in 2003? I was on that campaign, and I remember vividly. He announced that the Democratic Party needed to stand for something, and at that point, the Iraq War was at 70% approval. In a year, it had turned around, completely reversed those numbers. But you have to be willing to do it when it's unpopular.
Yep.
Nancy Pelosi is.
Yep, absolutely. Speaking of our progressive warriors, you have an exciting announcement for us. Would you like some breaking news?
I do have an exciting announcement. We have, as you know, and I'm working on a miracle cure for your seasickness, so we can get you to join us. But we have the Progressive Cruise leaving in February with me, with Bobby Kennedy, with Hal Sparks.
Wow.
Mike Papantonio, Mike Malloy, Mike Farrell from MASH. It's a lot of Mikes, actually.
Wow, it's the Mike Cruise.
Liz yep. Winstead.
Awesome.
It's great. Mike Farrell's wife, Shelley Fabre, the great Shelley Fabre.
Wow.
But this just in, Congressman Alan Grayson.
Wow!
Will be joining us in February, and I am so excited because it's a chance actually for people to say, hey, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for standing up. So if I may, progressivecruise.com.
Okay.
Progressivecruise.com. It leaves in February. We're going to Puerto Rico and the Bahamas. It's going to be amazing.
Wow.
But Alan Grayson's going to be with us, and I'm incredibly excited about it.
Well, you know, that one for me is personal because I just love him, and I think that, you know, what does it say about our times, David, when you a guy like that who obviously like fought for what he thought was right, mm-hmm. you know, and probably knew he's in a very conservative district, as you know, in Florida.
I do. But
did what he thought was right, what was moral, what was, you know.
Well, you know, here's the point. If you can look back at that, and I talked to him about this actually, Steph, that if you can look back and know that you did the right thing,
right,
then you can be at peace with losing. And frankly, you can go forward and possibly live to fight another day. And I am absolutely convinced we've not heard the last of Alan Grayson as a candidate for elective office.
I don't think so either. And you know what? He's a very successful businessman. In the meantime, he made his money, and not by stealing cars and then inventing something to stop people from stealing cars, in a really upstanding way, as he is.
Yeah, he did. Working with seniors, he's a tremendous man. And did you know he's 6'4"?
Yes.
He's a big guy.
Exactly.
On top of that,
we're
getting him a large room on the cruise ship.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
My crush is never ending on Alan Grayson. So.
Well, I just want to go up and say thank you. You know, I mean, thank you for not backing down. Thank you for being a Democrat with principles, a congressman with guts.
And you can do that, too, along with all the Mikes and one David on the, say it again, Progressive Cruise.
Progressivecruise.com and Bobby Kennedy.
Oh, hello now. Now you're talking my language.
Hey, mama.
It's the men that make me go into the questioning category again. All right.
It's the men who make me not question anymore.
David Bender, Ring of Fire. Thanks so much, honey. Talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, Steph.
All right, honey. There
Hooray!
We love him. 48 minutes after the hour. I'm just getting warmed up on top 10 Daryl Issa Hall of Shame
moments.
But wait, there's more? as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've never heard such a bunch of penny any, dime a dozen, two-bit halfwits exaggerating their enemies and bellyaching over the tiniest, stupidest personal problem.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 53 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Nate and Banger. Banger! I just met her! Okay. Hi, Nate.
It's Bangor.
Hello.
Exactly.
Yes.
Hello, Nate.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I didn't know if you'd heard about the representative in, I think it's Utah, the newly one, the newly erected.
Newly erected.
he was on, I think it was Hardball or somewhere on MSNBC, where he said that all these investigations that they want to do, like one of them that wasn't out of question was investigating Bush for torture.
Uh-huh.
And I just saw that and I was like, well, that's kind of interesting because he said, oh, I ran against these establishment guys, you know, Cheney and all those guys. They were pushing against me, and I was like, well, how long is it going to be once you get in the office that they're going to try to run you out, buddy? So
yeah.
But
yeah, no, I was just saying, Nate, I don't know if you heard the irony of watching President Bush on television plug in his stupid book, admitting to war crimes, and you've got Daryl Asa talking about impeaching Obama? What? I mean, you know, and that's the thing. You can disagree with things Obama's done politically, but to call him the most corrupt president in our history? Really? Ever been to the Nixon library?
Yeah.
Have you? Huh? All right. Where's my my happy film strip? We were reviewing a noted alleged car thief and a roid user toupee wearer, Daryl Issa.
I don't know that the car thievery is alleged. I think he's been...
Well, he was never convicted.
He was never convicted.
What? I'll skip ahead to that.
Okay.
He blames his brother for past. You know how that is. Family values like that.
Mm-hmm.
He faced scrutiny over his arrest in 1972 and 1980 on auto theft charges. While the charges were ultimately dropped in both cases for lack of evidence, the episodes were damning, and yet somehow. Yeah. But it was, he said it was his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were both arrested, but it was, yeah, okay.
I wonder if they're both roid users. Some people say.
Some say. Some say he gets the roids from his brother, but I don't know. Maybe his brother blames him for the roid use. Okay. His sad little history. He was also behind the firing one of the U.S. attorneys. He was involved in, he's been a partisan hatchet man for years now. Carol Lamb, you remember, who successfully prosecuted San Diego Republican Randy Duke Cunningham.
Oh, him.
That was her offense. She was one of the eight U.S. prosecutors forced out of the Justice Department. It was ISA who helped create the facade that supposedly lacks immigration reform, and that Lamb's office was behind her dismissal, despite the fact that no one from the Justice ever talked to Carol Lamb about immigration prosecutions at all.
Right.
But, you know, he was saying, "Why? It wasn't her prosecuting Republican Duke Cunningham. That wasn't it." ISA blames software for the White House email destruction. Committed to defending the Bush administration wrongdoing at every turn, Daryl ISA weighed in on the White House destruction of millions of emails. Now, apparently, he was a self-proclaimed IT expert. He claimed the likely criminal loss of the emails, including those for critical time periods, such as the Breaking Plaingate scandal, was just the result of a software glitch. I think he later had to apologize to Lotus because he just was saying, oh, that's crap. That happens all the time with that software. Okay, Howard Krongard, you know who he is? He resigned over allegations that he had impeded ongoing criminal investigations into the construction of a new $740 million U.S. embassy in Baghdad and security firm Blackwater Worldwide.
Mm.
During his congressional hearing, though, Daryl Issa said to him, "Thank you for your service, and I'll end by saying the first week of December, the president's having a Christmas party. I have an extra guest ticket. After today, I know you've earned it."
Wow.
Issa forced Gerald Nadler to withdraw a truthful statement about Bush's illegal domestic surveillance. Issa went on the attack against opponents of President Bush's domestic surveillance program. Gerald Nadler made a completely truthful statement about it, and he made him withdraw that. And so Nadler said, okay, I withdraw my completely accurate statement. Also, in an odd twist, he defends Roger Clemens against steroid allegations. Why might he be so tetchy about that, I wonder? Perhaps conscious of lingering allegations that George W. Bush turned a blind eye to his players' own steroid use while running the Texas Rangers, he rushed to Roger Clemens' defense. He called Clemens' alleged supplier a drug pusher and proclaimed his diploma mill PhD stood for pilot higher and deeper. Very tetchy. And then, as I mentioned, he blamed his brother for the unpleasantness with the auto theft, as they call it.
Yet he became an expert in how to keep cars from being stolen.
Odd that.
Yeah.
Funny that. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. The best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free. Check it out. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. It's the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy. Voice deity Jim Ward. Me, Stephanie Miller. Jim Ward partook of the free food that the rich right-wing host has.
Yummy.
He has his show catered in the morning. And
So if it wasn't Daryl Issa who burned down places and stole cars, it was either his brother Daryl or his other brother Daryl.
Hey. Exactly. Sure. Hey, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, he's thrown out the first Issa Joe. All right. We would like to thank the rich right-wing radio host next door that shared it. We're like the Oliver Twist of...
Thanks, Seth.
Why don't you
more
radio?
Why don't you become a right-wing radio host? Then you could pay us more and feed us.
He comes in a private jet every morning. He only lives like 10 minutes away.
I didn't know he had a landing strip.
Yes, we have a... Wow.
Yeah, we have a helipad on the roof. It's for him.
Private jet.
He lands on the 134 right behind the building.
You know, no wonder traffic's so bad.
I don't need so much food. I could use a few of his watts, of those 50,000 watts he has on that big right-wing station there.
You can spare 20,000 of those.
Can't we steal some? Okay.
It's all about dial position.
Yep. Or we could just thank our fine sponsors like Cedarside.
Yay!
Woo-hoo. Eric writes, Steph, another unsolicited testimonial. Thank you to the power of the Steph Show and the Steph sponsors. Steph, I want to thank you for turning me on to Cedarside. I have two cats, a kitten, year and a half old. I've been using spot treatment on the older one. When I give him the treatment, he'd act very strange. His behavior was unusual and erratic. I never understood why, and I didn't like it. After learning how those spot treatments work, I honestly believe it's a reaction to the poison.
It's
not good.
Poison.
I'm looking forward. Yes, the fact that you need to put gloves on and not have it touch you. I'm looking forward to receiving my Cedarside so I no longer subject my babies to that stuff. I want them to be around for many, many years to come. Warm regards, Eric. You're welcome, Eric.
Does it work on cockroaches like Daryl Issa?
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
Let's just spray Cedarside in his face.
I wonder...
I'm melting!
What a world! What a world! I wonder if... I don't know if it would interact with the steroids he's currently on, allegedly.
No,
some say.
It's HGH.
It's human growth hormone.
That's why the jaw is...
Yeah.
Some say.
It's Leno-esque. And it's,
All right. Also, on the by the by, Mama, if you are here in Los Angeles, come and join us all at the... where is it? Where? Hang on, I was going to think of that. Oh, the LA Gay and Lesbian Center 39th Anniversary Gala, which will be hosted by my friend Lily Tomlin. I'm sitting at her table with her.
Lily Tomlin.
Carol Burnett will be presenting an award. James Lynch will be winning the top award.
James Lynch.
Matthew Morrison from Glee.
He's Mr. Shue.
Mr. Shue from Glee.
Yep.
We'll also be getting an award you can go to. Oh, and our good friend Julie Brown is performing. It's going to be
Julie Brown.
Thank you.
Not downtown Julie Brown. The other Julie Brown.
The first Julie Brown.
Yes.
Yes.
The funny one.
Uh-huh.
AnniversaryGala.org. Check it out. There's still tickets available, I think. You know me. Just another weekend hanging out with Lily and Carol and... Oh, the comedy legends. Oh, thank God we can move on with our lives, Jim. Bush forgives Kanye West. Okay, so that's...
Oh, well.
Well,
okay, that
thank
fixes
God.
Everything. Didn't he...
Isn't that like the Virginia Thomas thing? Like, what he forgives, what... Don't we need an apology?
I'm waiting
for
an apology.
Okay.
Yeah.
It would seem like we might be owed an apology for a thing or two.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Hitler was waiting for an apology from the Jews, but it was not forthcoming.
Huh. Weird. Interesting. Could you take your organ out for me? Among the many other horrors that will be inflicted on us, including Daryl Asshat, mm-hmm. this... Look what you've done. Look what you've done. These Republicans... a Republican congressman hoping to chair the powerful House Energy Committee refers to the Bible and God on the issue of global warming.
Because God told Noah that he wasn't going to destroy the Earth again, so we have nothing to worry about. No.
Seriously. Jesus. Seriously.
Exactly.
The planet won't be destroyed by global warming because God promised Noah.
Wow.
But
the flying spaghetti monster begs to differ.
Yes.
God promised Noah it wouldn't happen again after the Great Flood, we don't, you know, all you scientists can pack up and go home.
Of course, God ask Abraham to kill his own son?
Listen, this does not, that's this in the, is not
you
part
know,
of the
he may
case.
Be on a bender.
In the very same Testament, I think.
Wow, we might as well just shut down the science now. The Republican, of course, a vocal opponent to President Obama's America Clean Energy and Security Act of 2009, the so-called cap-and-trade bill aimed at limiting carbon emissions. Hey, here's a fun fact. NASA thermal satellite imaging shows the world's Arctic surface temperature trends between 81 and 2008. Temperatures have increased over the Arctic due, of course, to dramatic recent decline in sea ice cover.
That's all fake.
Didn't God also invent satellite? If you assume that God invented everything, didn't he also invent thermal satellite? To show us that we're being a bunch of douche nozzles that are destroying this planet? Before it's too late? Just saying. Okay. Shimkus, I'm just saying, he talked to Noah before thermal satellite was it, before he invented that, so I'm just saying. Shimkus, that's his name, John Shimkus.
Shimkus?
John Shimkus, the Republican.
Hmm.
He will be competing against BP apologizer Joe Barton. Those are the two guys
God.
That are up.
Wow.
In the head.
I apologize to BP because... No private company should ever.
Yeah, because apparently emotional. That was a natural disaster, according to some people to BP. That was also okay. Caused by God.
Is an embarrassment to shimps everywhere.
All right, let's.
Did you see? Have you seen Tony Hayward on his apology tour? Former BP CEO Tony. Mm-hmm. He said he had admitted that BP was wholly unprepared for something like this.
Oh, good heavens! We had no idea.
Yes.
Dear. All right, let's.
As it happens, one needs safety precautions when drilling into deep water. I had no idea. No one informed me. I was busy counting my money.
I assumed that this British accent would protect me forever from any sort of responsibility of any kind.
Yes, it's rakish accent.
It caused a terrible catastrophe the likes of the Witch of the Earth has ever known, but I do have a charming accent.
But listen to me.
As we played by Hugh Grant in the movie.
Listen to me ask for the Grey Poupon. All right.
No, that's French. I would never ask for that.
No, yeah. The British and the French have a checkered history.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, which we have a checkered history with. Yes. Rich Galen, right-wing tool, who we've had on our show as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Here's the problem that I think President Obama has. He is not a middle-of-the-road Democrat. No. He is a liberal, elitist, frankly, Democrat. He can't look at Reagan to see how he recovered from the 1982 drubbing that he got, because Reagan depended on what we later called Reagan Democrats in the House and Senate. There are no Obama Republicans.
Well, why do you think that is? Because the Republican Party has moved to the right of Himmler.
Yes.
Since Reagan. Since Reagan would be teabagged
Reagan
out of the Republican Party today.
Although I'm sure
Nixon
with...
Nixon looks like a commie compared to these guys.
With the way the GOP is going so far in their new Congress, I'm sure they will create some Obama Republicans.
You know how Sean Hannity sometimes does that, guess the quote, punked on people?
Yes.
I think that I'm not saying that his little tiny TikTok brain and his giant Fred Flintstone head would have trouble with this. I'm just saying, I went in there with a bunch of Ronald Reagan guess the quotes, I bet you he would go, get communist, socialist. Huh?
Karl Marx said that.
What? Huh?
Stalin.
Okay, Rush Limbaugh.
I do have a bit of a tipping point when I see a bunch of spoiled, rotten people expecting to live off of everybody else simply because they were born. Simply because they're alive, believe. That's why communism, socialism offend me. It destroys the human spirit. Liberalism, socialism, communism, Marxism, it destroys the greatest things about humanity.
So the only way to revive the human spirit is to make sure they can't get unemployment benefits.
So we don't have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
No.
That's a commie plot.
No.
To him.
You need to have the
you need to
Social Security check slapped out of your hand. That'll teach you. That'll make you plucky.
Look, man, I don't need any help. I have millions and millions and millions of dollars. I don't need any help from commie socialism. Yeah. Is there a public ambulance anywhere? No! Oh,
help.
God!
Is there a union nurse somewhere?
He fell on that floor filled with hammers again.
Oh, you're from the SEIU? Oh, I don't, never mind. Revive myself. Okay. That was a little skit, you see.
Impromptu skit.
It was an impromptu skit exposing his hypocrisy.
Those are actually his Louis XIV mirrors rattling on the walls when he hit.
He has millions of dollars, but money can't buy you class.
Can't buy you class.
What about my right to privacy? But my medical records deserve to be private. Help! Where's an ACLU lawyer? Help me! All right, that was an impromptu...
Wheel of Right-Wing Hypocrites!
Help! I have a permanent chubby from off-market Viagra. Help me. It's lasted way more than 4 hours. Is there any non-union nurses here to help me subdue
your permanent stiffy?
My permanent stiffy? Okay, I apologize. I'm enjoying the show too much this morning. All right, Glenn Beck on the radio.
I wanted to send the message very clear to them. You don't frighten me. You could frighten everybody else, but you're not going to frighten me.
Boo.
You can gun me down in the street.
Oh.
I'm not shutting up. I believe in what I am saying. So, if that's what you're going to do, Mr. Soros, that's what you're going to do.
He's saying George Soros is going to gun him down in the street.
Apparently has threatened to gun him down in the street, which still won't shut him up. He apparently will still be, he'll be a zombie then, and he'll still be talking.
Zombie Beck?
Oh, my God. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. You know, kids, I have told you about GoToMeeting until I'm blue in the face. Look at me.
Mm-hmm.
In case you haven't noticed, I'm blue.
Yes. You know how I found out about the addition of Alan Grayson to David Bender's Progressive Cruise?
How?
GoToMeeting.
GoToMeeting.
How about that?
You know, traveling sucks. I think we can all agree on that, can't we?
No,
and
ask Cal about his plane flight back from D.C.
Oh, well, I would like to hear about that. But in the meantime,
maybe you could have a GoToMeeting about it.
You don't need to travel. All you need is GoToMeeting. You know, it's impossible, first of all, to get people together on the same schedule, on all different schedules. GoToMeeting, boom, you're online, you're in a meeting. You can do a PowerPoint. You can show someone on what's on your desktop on their desktop. All you need is an internet connection. You meet with clients, colleagues online. You can demonstrate, present, or collaborate in real time. About 2 seconds to download. You can start a meeting on the fly or schedule one in advance. I have used GoToMeeting, and I love it, love it, love it. GoToMeeting, just like meeting in person, even when you're miles away. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Stephanie. The promo code is... Stephanie. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Try to behave, for goodness sake.
Okay, all right.
Otherwise, you're going to have all idiots listening to your program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Flo in Sunrise, Florida. Hi, Flo.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello, go ahead.
Good morning. Oh, they're trying to make some connection with that whacked out... could be chief head of all the staffers at Alan Grayson's replacement. What was his name? Alan West, that one?
Dan
Webster.
Dan Webster, yeah.
What, Dan Webster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Daniel Webster.
Anyhow, there's this whacked out
the devil
conservative
must be his,
talk show host down at FTL, and she said if ballots don't work, then bullets will. So they're trying to make the connection to a listener that phoned in a threat. So Pembroke Pines and some of the other schools had lockdown yesterday.
All right.
And they're still doing the investigating.
Yep.
But when people listen to these crazy people and then they make threats, see what the results. This is the results of all these crazy people on the radio.
Yep, exactly. All right, Flo, thank you for that. By the way, David Bender just announced Alan Grayson, progressive hero, will be at on the progressive cruise. That's going to be a fun, that's going to be a progressive love boat.
He's trying to get you to go, but you can't.
I could be Jolie, except with a wine problem instead of a, you know.
Or you could be Vicky.
Okay, John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph, how are you doing?
Good, John, go ahead.
We need your help.
And
the reason why I say you is because I think you're probably the best talk show progressive out there right now.
Yes, clearly.
Well, we have a problem in the party right now where I'm less concerned about the heat that the president is getting from the right and more concerned about the heat that he's getting from the left. We need to be able to be critical of the president, but not counterproductive. And it just seems that there's so much going on out there that it's kind of hard to get people excited about a midterm when we spent the first 16 months of the last 18 months tearing him down on the left.
Yep. Well, you know I'm with you. That's obviously what I've been saying. And you know, you look at this fresh horror that awaits us that I think people really didn't realize, you know, but you know, we could have told you when you look at the history of who Daryl Issa is, and they've as much as told us. This is about, you know, breaking the president, making it his Waterloo. It's about him being a one-term president. It's about impeaching him. I mean, this is, you know, have you noticed that none of this is about you you getting a job or, you know, you being able to get a mortgage?
But did you see what Sam Stein did last night in the HuffPo with this whole, the White House is caving on tax cuts, big headline, and the left blogosphere is like, they sold us out again and everything else. It's almost as if some of our friends on our side are celebrating and want him to disappoint us. I mean, I think that there's a lot of discussions, but it's almost like we're micromanaging the presidency and we're micromanaging the Congress. We have to hold them accountable, but it seems like we want to critique every even thought or idea anyone on the left has.
John, have you seen the I forget the exact name, it's what the has Obama done so far.com, and you know these are, you know, young kids that probably voted for him that were in this last and it literally is hundreds of accomplishments, and it, you know, it takes these kids to kind of go, hey people, you know, he got a lot of stuff done that we elected him for.
But not according to the blogosphere, he's a failure. He sold us out. And like I said,
you know, though? I think that's just the Huffington Post. The Huffington Post is not the blogosphere.
But no, but Chris, you look and you see, then it gets picked on Daily Kos on Democratic Underground. And then it's like an echo chamber. Bush had to fight Democrats. Obama has to fight Republicans.
Yep, you're right, because they always march in lockstep. You're absolutely right. I mean, and that's what's going on now with this whole fight between, you know, Pelosi and the people that don't want Pelosi back in, and liberals and conservative Democrats. And in my opinion, we're in the spot we're in because of conservative Democrats.
Right, and it's a good problem to have, though. It's a good problem to have because I think that we're better for being able to not walk in lockstep. But, you know, it's almost as if we need to put some type of deadline and say, okay, we're going to fight it out, you know, until Tuesday. And then on Tuesday, we're going to spend the next 3 months holding hands and working together. But it seems like we fight it out and we don't realize that at some point in time, there's a time for fighting primaries, and there's a time for, you know, putting everything aside and moving forward. And I don't think we do that enough in this party.
Yep. Listen, we obviously talked about during the primaries, you know, primaries should not tear a party apart. It's good. The fact that we had two such great candidates, it should be a good thing for our party.
Kind of tore our party apart, though.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, and now you even have people already going, oh, well, it would have been better if Hillary was president. It's like,
right.
How constructive is that now, you know?
You get the Hillary thing, you get people already saying, well, maybe Feingold should challenge Obama. Maybe so-and-so should challenge Obama. Get rid of this person, get rid of that person. Look, we need to hold folks accountable. We shouldn't accept you know, wishy-washy.
John, you're talking my language because he did a lot of the things that we voted for him for, and it's just, you're absolutely right. It's how we,
where this call started. I'm holding you accountable to make sure that everybody gets along.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're screwed then. Yeah. All right, but thanks for your thought, John.
Robert Gibbs kind of stepped in it when he started railing against the professional left for daring to criticize Obama on anything.
No, that was
and
not.
And that just made it much worse.
That was not helpful.
I do think Obama needs to bare his teeth a little bit more.
Yes.
Listen, I have been in a closed car with Ed Schultz screaming back and forth with Robert Gibbs on the phone. I've seen the tension up close. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The most awesome person I have ever known. Well, second most awesome.
Right. Of course, the first being...
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Steve in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Mama. How are you?
Baby, go ahead.
Listen, we're all missing the obvious thing with the George Soros comment with Glenn Beck. He's saying, get George Soros before he gets me. He's calling out his little fringe nutbags.
Yes, he's about to kill me. Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, defense.
Everything to them comes down to violence because they do not have the intellect to actually argue a subject.
Yep, there you go. All right. Speaking of
intellect is communism.
He didn't know I was about to play a Steve Doocy soundbite, Jim.
Speaking of intellect.
Steve Doocy and Dick Morris, which only classes it up even more.
Nancy Pelosi, the conventional wisdom was if she should lose her speakership, she would say, goodbye, I'm leaving, I'm going back to that city by the bay.
Wow. Denver?
Denver?
She's not going anywhere. She would like to become the minority leader. It's great for Republicans,
shocking,
isn't it?
Yeah. Sure. Well, first of all, I always wanted to make her the minority leader. but, you know, during the campaign, she even hinted that she might resign as speaker. So you see how disingenuous that was.
Ah, yes.
Who suggested that she would return home and leave
D.C.?
Nobody ever suggested that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. The more and more the folks in right-wing world think she shouldn't be speaker, the more I think she clearly should, or a leader.
Minority leader.
Yes. A growing number of rank and file, by the way, say they will not support Nancy Pelosi. And again, it's the more conservative Democrats. Mm-hmm. Representative Mike Quigley of Illinois said the reality is she's politically toxic. Pelosi's office declined to comment. She's mounting a robust defense of her record in an op-ed in USA Today. She blamed the election results on the genuine frustration of the American people who are justifiably angered by the continued high unemployment rate, which I think kind of proves out in pretty much every poll. That's the debate I just had with this caller, is that's the fight going on within the Democratic Party right now.
Politically toxic to Republicans. Good.
Yes, good.
Who wants that?
She is cedar side to Republicans. All right, Bill O'Reilly.
After last week's election results, some in the Obama administration and most in the left-wing media were furious, and now desperation is setting in.
Uh-oh.
What?
Two examples. First, Foxophobia.
Oh.
That is the irrational fear of the Fox News Channel, which for the first time in history beat every other TV news agency on election night, a stunning turn of events.
Gee, I wonder why that is. Maybe because it's on basic cable everywhere, and MSNBC you have to pay for. It's way up there.
And CNN had too many people crowding that.
Yes.
Yeah,
don't get me started on the radio argument. Well, Rush has a lot more listeners. Well, yes, because he's on 600 stations. We have 60 in the whole country.
Do the math. The right wing supports right wing radio hosts, even if they're not successful. In cities where we're beating Laura Ingraham, she has a million stations.
I mean, did you say that out loud?
Don't mention me on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't tell me I'm annoying on radio.
Despite her soothing voice, that we have more listeners, but oh well.
I figure.
if you're comparing, you know, apples to apples. Okay, Sean Hannity.
The anointed one may be a great speaker, but it turns out not too many people are tuning into his weekly addresses. Now, since last May, most of his addresses posted on YouTube have gotten only 20,000 views. To put that in context, the anointed one's first YouTube address got more than 1.2 million views. That's a decline of well over a million people. Mm. If the midterms didn't send the president a clear enough message, maybe that will.
Well, oh. Yes. Clearly he's being too liberal. That's the problem.
20,000 is still way more people than saw President Bush's YouTube videos.
Yeah. All right. That concludes another Vomitous World.
Just read my book.
Hey, can I have some wacky comedy music? You know, okay. The latest right-wing prankster? Now that James O'Keefe is he in prison? No, where is he?
No,
he's
not.
I don't know.
Should be.
Tucker Carlson! He sent insulting emails to a Philadelphia columnist while posing as Keith Olbermann.
See, because
that seems
funny.
Legally actionable.
Huh. After Keith Olbermann was suspended, a Philadelphia Daily News columnist wrote a piece about it. He sought a comment from Olbermann emailing keitholbermann.com.
Yes.
The email claiming to be from Olbermann insulted the writer, calling him pathetic beneath contempt. It went on to insult MSNBC President Phil Griffin. Tucker Carlson apparently purchased KeithOlbermann.com. In a phone interview, he confirmed to Yahoo News that he was behind the emails. Could you resist? It was just too funny.
Isn't that hilarious? That's actionable.
Yeah.
That's,
Yeah.
Hmm.
Good.
Seems so, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Hope they take him to the cleaners.
Okay, let's go to Bill in Canton, Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
The thing that drives me the craziest is how these righties read the Constitution the way they read their Bible. They compartmentalize it, and they say things like, you know, bullets instead of ballots, forgetting that there's mentions in the Constitution about sedition and treason and violence and all this other stuff that they can't do. And, you know, the perfect example of the right mind is exactly what Dick Morris said in your little clip there, where he alluded that he thought that Bruce Pelosi might have said that she was going to retire. And when she didn't do what he thought she was going to, she was disingenuous.
Yeah, right. What? Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
These guys, they're just nuts.
They are.
And I think that, I don't remember the author's name, but there's a guy who wrote a book that said that the answer is going to be when they take charge and it all falls apart and people realize that without Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid and the social programs, grandma's living with you.
Yep.
You know, and you got your disposable income is non-existent because you got to pay for the medicine.
And you have to buy her cat food, as we mentioned yesterday, her favorite brand, which, of course, is eye sockets and holes.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yes. And all the gas you have to spend running around looking for Grandpa because you don't know where he went. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Okay,
I mean,
thank you. We apologize to any of the grandpas currently listening. Okay. He's right. We'll see what they're actually going to do starts to kick in.
They'll still blame it on the liberals somehow, and they
will
believe
it. Yeah, the liberals stopped my socialist Medicare checks.
Yeah.
Janet in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama.
Hello, baby.
And I have just a quick quip.
Okay.
Obama ran on the platform of "Yes, we can," and I think the current Democratic cry or cheer, perhaps, is "Yes, we did," and "Yes, we are."
And I know you are, but what am I? How about that? No?
Are you?
I don't know. I'm confused.
Huh?
She was just trying to use the phone. What's wrong with me doing pee-wee to her?
I'm trying to use the phone!
Sam in San Rafael. Did I say that
San
right?
San Rafael.
San Rafael. Hi, Sam.
Good morning. In 2006, Pelosi said we should not impeach to make sure that we had our position for the 2008 election. And now the Obama administration has come in and perpetuated the security state and failed to prosecute the war criminals. And on Veterans Day, we have to take notice of the fact that he really ran the country from the middle instead of pulling to the left hard enough to get us back in the middle.
Well, Sam, I was saying this earlier. I don't know if you're struck by the same thing I am.
Wait,
but here is George Bush admitting
in.
To war crimes on television, and you've got Daryl Issa going forward with the investigations and possible impeachment of Obama, you know?
But...
What?
He should be. The Obama administration should be prosecuting
him. That's what I'm saying is it shows you right there the difference between the parties. He's absolutely right. Nancy Pelosi said because we play fair. Like, okay, we're going to take impeachment off the table and let's move forward. The country wants to move forward. We're in a horrible economy. And now look, it's like.
But why take impeachment off the table? Why?
No,
not
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Why isn't Eric Holder going after clear war crimes that they admitted to?
We're Charlie Brown and they're Lucy with the football. It's just like, what? We played fair. How come you're not? Okay.
Well, that's his point.
What are you looking at me like that for?
There's a spinoff of What the F Has Obama Done So Far.
Mm-hmm.
It's called WTF Has Sarah Palin Done So Far. It's very, very funny. I'll put a link to it up on your Facebook page.
I'll get to that as soon as I get through the kitty videos. Somebody send me a bunch of kitties waking up.
Oh,
oh
no.
Kitty, you're too sleepy. Wake up. Dina,
you're going to get a cat. You're going to become a crazy cat lady.
I've fallen into the black hole of cat videos on the internet. I'm telling you, it's like some sort of gateway drug. Someone sent me one. I'm like, I'll just watch one. Oh, look at the kitty eating a watermelon. He's wearing a hat.
There are hundreds of cats eating watermelons on YouTube now.
No, but have you seen the Himalayan cat with the hat on that's eating the apple?
No.
Apple a day, kitty. Oh.
No, kitty, not the core.
No, kitty, don't eat the seeds. Dina in Toledo. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, sure, there's no cat food left because Grandma's eating.
Hi, yeah. Stephanie. Hi, Luke.
Except cats are going to need to learn to eat watermelon. All right. Thank you, Dina. Go ahead.
Hi. I just had a comment about, you know, as far as the Democratic Party not sticking together. I actually kind of fall on both sides of that. I understand where we need to be together.
Well, see, you're the reason we lost, Dina. You can't make up your mind.
No, but I did vote. I promise. And I volunteered and I worked hard. But the thing is the president told us, you know, the same thing happened with FDR. He wasn't going to be able to make all these changes without us pushing him.
That's right.
So I sometimes see this criticism of him and as sort of that sort of push that he asked for, you know, a sort of outcry from us.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this last midterm was the push he was hoping for. I don't think a lot of us
staying home or
voting
totally
Republican
agree.
I'm
so mad. I mean, we got killed here in Ohio. We got killed.
That's not the kind of help he was asking for. But thank you, Dean. I appreciate
you
working.
You have to acknowledge that the voting machines from the Help America Vote Republican Act are still out there. And no one is.
Oh, where did I see, speaking of things on the internet, when I was watching my latest cat video, there's a, here's the problem. We mentioned this yesterday where people, wait a minute, where is it? I threw it out. But when people say, oh, well, I heard it somewhere, or oh, I saw it on the internet, it's like people don't.
They don't source things.
Yes. Wait a minute. Hang on.
You're looking for your printout that you got from the internet.
No, you know what it is.
Yeah. Here on the internet proves that the internet sucks. Oh, wait a minute.
I'll find it. No, but it's an ad. But it is so right-wing biased, and I don't think people realize it. They're like, oh, well, I wonder if that's true. I'll find it. I'll dig through the dumpster, and I'll find it when we get back.
Did you have a brain-related event?
Well, you know what? You gave me the light bulb moment, Chris.
I did?
Well, the reason why there is such a spate of kitties eating things that they don't normally eat on the internet is because Grandma's eating all their cat food because Republicans are going to cut their, you know. All right, 45 minutes to the hour.
Also, the Debt Commission wants to cut the Social Security payouts, too. Did you see that? President Obama's debt commission.
Yes, we'll get to the debt condition.
Okay.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And don't let those screeches bother me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Here it is. I found it. It was on the AP breaking. It was on my, news websites online yesterday. Democrats pressing Pelosi to step aside. We were talking about how people voted saying, oh, well, I heard this on the internet. I read this blah.
A couple of them.
They're banner ads, and people don't get that. Okay, it's from some right-wing asshat organization. It's not. Anyway.
Which Democrats?
What it says right here above the article is, do you want to repeal unconstitutional government-run health care? Sign the petition. It's so that implies that everyone knows it's unconstitutional and government run. Neither of which it is.
You know who paid for that? The insurance company.
Uh-huh. Yeah. support your state attorney general. If you don't, you must be a communist or a socialist.
The insurance companies have scads of money, but those opposing the insurance companies, we have no money.
I read online that health care is unconstitutional and run by the government.
Where do you think the insurance companies got all that money? From you! Because they're robbing you
blind. Because they're taking advantage of you,
yes.
Which is why we need health care reform.
Paying in for decades, and if you ever get sick, then, you're cut off. And
so they can
you don't
pay
get a rebate of all the money you paid them.
To buy a banner ad,
yeah.
Right above the Nancy Pelosi story.
Telling you how bad health insurance reform is. God,
the
people
system
are dumb.
Is just twisted.
By the way, speaking of the
Right-wing hypocrites!
Rand Paul, an ophthalmologist, who...
Well, in the loosest sense of the word.
Use quotation marks.
Anyone can be one if you make your own board.
Yeah, if you're too libertarian to join the actual board of ophthalmology.
It's actually spelled awfulmologist.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you are an ophthalmologist. He generated 50% of his practice from government reimbursements, by the way. Said physicians should be allowed to make a comfortable living. He conveniently disregarded his pledge to institute across-the-board cuts on government spending last week on Parker Spitzer.
Is that who you are or what you do?
I just met her.
Spitzer,
I barely know her.
Spitzer took him to task for this apparent contradiction, asking why he was excluding doctors from the gruesome cuts, particularly since Medicare spending was primarily responsible for the growing deficit. Remarkably, Paul immediately backed away from his broad brush indictment of government spending and argued that cutting reimbursements would reduce access to physicians.
What, did he walk that back on a place other than Fox News? Because he probably said the original thing on Fox News and then walked it back on... like CNN or something.
Spitzer asked Paul to name specific programs he would cut from healthcare, Social Security, or defense. Paul demurred, of course, saying he would offer a balanced budget in the next Congress. Still unsure of what to cut to get there, which is pretty much, every Republican that's been interviewed is the answer has been hamana, 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 hamana.
It's funny that they'll say one thing on Fox News, something completely uber right, and then they go on other channels to walk it back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like Darrell Issa.
Like Darrell Issa, exactly.
Maria.
Oh, no, I would never do that.
And Wolf Blitzer just left it there.
Uh-huh.
Maria in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Maria.
Hey.
Hey.
Stephanie, love you.
Love you back.
I heard this morning on the Bill Press Show, Joy Behar was being interviewed, and she called Boehner, the boner, the house crier.
Yes, like the town crier. I get it.
Oh, all right, the town crier.
All right.
You can include Darrell Issa in that, too.
Oh,
since he cried
did
like
you,
a
do you remember
bitch.
When he blubbered? Oh, Chris.
What? Sorry.
It wasn't enough.
Do you remember when he dropped out of the race? Do you remember that, Jim? He got Gray Davis, recalled because he thought he was going to be governor, and then Schwarzenegger steps in the race, and then he cried like a little
all that money girl. I put in defaming...
Have you noticed Republicans only cry about themselves?
I didn't get my pinky.
And the enormous loss that was to the state of California.
My question last hour is, when did the Republicans become the party of pussies?
I don't know. I would venture to say that he is what Arnold Schwarzenegger would have called a girly man.
Yeah. You're a girly man. Man up. Do you want some more HGH? I have some left over.
I want
that's where he got the HGH from.
The plot thickens.
Nobody has a jaw that big naturally.
The plot thickens out here in California.
Except Tony Robbins, who's a freak.
Oh, I'm sure Tony Robbins has done a few.
Oh, we don't know anything
cycles
about
of HGH.
That.
What? Allegedly, some people say
a lot
some
people of people
say.
Are 8 feet tall for
sure.
No reason.
Size 19 shoe.
And have gigantism. No reason at all.
Okay, what was I?
I don't know. What were you? What?
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Can you imagine? He'd be like, I once dropped a 5,000-pound barbell on my nutsack, and I didn't cry.
I didn't cry. I said, ah! Like I do in my movies and things of this nature.
My spotter was out doing the HGH, and I dropped it right on my nutsack.
At the time when I was on Mars and my eyeballs bulged out, then I just went, ah! And it got better.
I broke my femur, and I didn't cry. Ah!
Heck of a chap, Brownie! No, it's the wrong femur.
The other femur.
Are we starting to lose our minds after the midterms?
I think so.
We are.
Yeah. Up in here?
Yeah. Up in here?
Yeah.
Up in here?
David, up in here, up in here. Oh, David in Seattle.
Oh, you guys are having so much fun. I love you guys. Hey, Nancy Pelosi
We don't know if it's fun or a nervous breakdown. We're not really sure.
I know. I'm kind of like in between because these elections are just exhausting. But yeah. Nancy Pelosi is the GOP teabagger's worst nightmare because Dick Morris knows she'll gobble his balls up and sit him back in his face.
Oh, dear. Hell, my goodness.
There's
now,
an image.
Well, there.
Oh,
his baseballs.
God.
His golf balls.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. The boner on what sets him apart from Nancy Pelosi.
But over the last 20 years, I have flown back and forth to my district on the commercial aircraft, and I'm going to continue to do that.
Oh, please, God, for the sake of anyone that's had to sit next to you while you blubber into your rusty nail.
Plus, Ohio's a lot closer to D.C. than California.
And by the way,
no equivalent.
I'm sure the Sergeant of Arms would not suggest that, and neither would I.
You know what?
I'm going to insist on flying commercial. No, you say I can't. Okay.
Wait until
that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to say you're third in line to the presidency.
Well, I was told that I can't do.
Or wait until he finds out that you can't smoke on commercial air.
Yeah.
And then he'll go for the private aircraft.
I want a rusty nail, not cheap.
He is going to poop on the service cart and go down the emergency chute.
That's right.
After grabbing a couple of beers. That's he's going to be the next air raid.
Of course, he'll try to go down the emergency chute in midair, which won't end well for him.
He'll start crying. He'll start on the food cart.
I wanted a Rob Roy. This is a rusty nail. Does anyone have a difference?
There's not that many mixers on an airplane. You can only make so many cocktails on
an
airplane.
You know that he's going to be the one that locks himself in the bathroom and starts smoking.
Yeah. Those are bartenders.
What do you mean I can't smoke?
He's the one that tampers with the smoke detector in the bathroom. The plane has to turn around and go back.
He tries to get into the cockpit and smoke. Get me out of here. 8 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow, Fridays with Fuglesang. John Fuglesang joins us all 3 hours from the New York Bureau. As usual, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice Deedee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. What's that there camera doing there looking at me?
Hello.
Wish you told me that was there.
Hmm?
I think I was digging for gold a couple times. What? Apologize. It's apparently a camera. Where can you see that there? On StephanieMiller.com?
Not yet on StephanieMiller.com. We're working on it there. But you can go to your Facebook page or you can go to your Twitter page at Twitter.com/SMShow to get the link to see the video.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Right now it's only video. We're working on the audio.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs to hear the audio? It's only radio.
I know. Well, so you can turn on your radio and watch the video.
Wow. Did you see this? A caller mentioned this earlier, but on MSNBC, on Dylan Radigan's show, Republican representative Jason, how am I saying that right? Chavez. A Republican of Utah. He is a member of the House Government Oversight Committee. He said a torture investigation of the Bush administration may be on the list as well. I'm not afraid of going after the Bush administration. So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. The president's getting flanked on the left on torture by a Republican from Utah and on gay marriage by Ted Olson.
Yeah. So what does that tell you?
Does that settle the score yet as to whether the president has gone too far left that he needs to...
This not is the according fight to in the professional left.
But this is the fight in the Democratic Party. Means we need to tax center. That's what this means.
Yes.
That's what this means. The fact that 75% of Americans want don't ask, don't tell overturn, this means we need to tack more to the... Yes.
Let's start to the right of center and move further right. That's what...
We fell off the Himmler cliff. Whoa! That's what it is. We need to get right back there to the center, Jim. Where is that now, the center exactly?
Slightly to the left of Himmler. Funny you should mention that.
Guess what? George Bush still unpopular. Miss him yet? No, not really. As he
read the book.
But they haven't heard that one at The Hague, have they? I asked that you read the book. 53% unfavorable rating, 44% favorable rating. Oh, how's about this one? I hadn't heard this story. The venue was the Oval Office. A group of British dignitaries, including Gordon Brown, were paying a visit at the height of the 2008 presidential campaign. Naturally, the election came up. Trying to be even-handed and polite, the Brits said something diplomatic about McCain's campaign, expecting Bush to express some warm words of support. Not a chance. He said, I probably won't even vote for the guy. I had to endorse him, but I would have endorsed Obama if they'd asked me. And there was just a look of astonishment from
what?
The British. I'm not voting for that.
Sorry,
loser.
I don't think I heard you correctly. Did you just say...
I'm sorry, bullsack says what?
Bull. Bullocksack.
Well, I think the important thing is not that we forgive George Bush for, letting 9/11 happen on his watch, responding, letting an entire American city drown, and all the people that died in Hurricane Katrina, all the people that died unnecessarily in the Iraq War, which was based on a complete pack of lies. I think it's more important that he forgives Kanye West, which is... How stupid is our media? This has become the whole story, stupid Kanye West, and whether Bush forgives him, and whether... It's like, what... Nice way to distract from your disastrous presidency and your war crimes.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
And he doesn't. He doesn't care about anybody.
Maybe Taylor Swift should have been in charge of our foreign policy, since she was also insulted by Kanye West. I think she had a... Yeah.
I mean, is that... No interviewers would point that out, that that's fairly disgusting, that in a presidency marked by a war which killed untold thousands of Americans and Iraqis unnecessarily, Hurricane Katrina, 9/11, which happened on his watch, despite numerous warnings, the most disgusting moment, really, was when Kanye West says, you didn't care, you don't care about black people?
Wow. Well, he's a sociopath. That's the way he was raised.
So, did you see this? So they had Kanye West was on the video, and he said, I would tell George Bush in my moment of frustration, I didn't have the grounds to call him a racist, I believe. And he actually didn't call him a racist. I think anyone that turned on the TV would have thought, yes, he didn't really care.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
I believe in a situation of high emotion like that, we as human beings don't always choose the right words. That's clearly, thank God we have that cleared up. Bush said, I appreciate that. But he added, it wasn't just Kanye he was talking like that during Katrina. I cited him as an example. Oh, I see. So he would, maybe he'll have Virginia Thomas call us all at home individually at 7:30 and ask for an apology for anything we said about him during his presidency.
Have her call us at our office on a Saturday at 7:30 in the morning.
Asked if he forgives West, Bush said, absolutely. I'm not a hater. He's not a player anymore or a player hater. Said he does not hate Kanye.
All right. Mm-hmm. Fine.
Okay, did you see Matt Lauer also asked him about, it just goes to show you, this guy, obviously right after 9/11, you have to give him credit that he did come out and say, you remember he went to, an Islamic center.
Yes.
What? And said,
mosque.
The face of terror is not the true faith of Islam. That's not what Islam's all about. Islam is peace. These terrorists don't represent peace. They represent evil and war. So, Matt Lauer obviously said, you did something a lot of people thought was a real effort to unite. You reached out to the Muslim world. So you naturally you'd think, gee, this might be a good time to chime in on this rampant Islamophobia that the Republican Party is,
sure.
And the Ground Zero, Bush said he's not going to get dragged into the debate. When he asked him to comment on the recent spate of Islamophobia, the former president basically said, well, the problem with the arena today is a few loud voices can dominate the discussion. I don't intend to be one of the voices. Well, and it's not a few loud voices. It's Republican members of Congress, Tea Party leaders, conservative pundits, including top advisors to Bush, have recently promoted the anti-Muslim rhetoric and the whole Sharia law thing taking over America and...
Well, see, you understand, when I said those nice things about Muslims, I was drunk. I was out of my mind.
He was dry drunk.
I don't remember that at all. Woo! You sure that was me?
Now that would be a bestseller if he just entitled his book, I Was Drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can tell you now.
On B&Bs.
The entire 8 years on B&Bs, clearly.
Bonbons?
Last month, by the way, Bush...
Someone wrote to me and said maybe it was bourbon and blow.
You think so?
Oh,
could be.
Go.
Could be.
Interesting.
Or maybe it was blow and more blow.
Could be.
He apparently did a lot of that.
Well, the bourbon would take the edge off a bit.
Yeah, the bourbon would make you less jumpy.
It would make you miss your nasal membranes less.
I barely even remember my nasal membranes. They've been gone for so long. Bush advisor, White House advisor Nicole Wallace said she would have liked to hear her former boss speak out on the Park 51 mosque. She said, I think it would have been a great place to hear his voice for the first time since leaving the presidency. But now.
Computer says no.
No, just buy the book.
I'm not going to talk about that. Read the book. I'm not talking about that either.
So why are you here promoting your book if you're not going to talk about it?
Read the book! Buy my damn book. That's it.
Yeah, he's like that character on The Simpsons. Buy my book! Let's go to Mark in Durham, North Carolina. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hi. Upon the Bush book and interviews, I think we need to retitle many of the players in the last administration, such as the unindicted war criminal George Bush and the unindicted war criminal Dick Cheney and the unindicted war criminal Donald Rumsfeld, et cetera.
Yes.
Maybe if we say it often enough, it'll become a meme.
Maybe we'll hear more from about that from unindicted car thief Daryl Issa as he
unindicted. That's the important part. Unindicted.
Unindicted steroid user and toupee wearer, Daryl Issa. Maybe we'll hear more. Just saying. Some people say. Okay, Ruth in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. I was listening to your podcast from yesterday, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. And
why, thank you.
You had another one of those crazy right-wingers on talking about how tax cuts for the wealthy benefit the economy. And I think you just need to remind them that the CBO did their own study on tax cuts for the wealthy and found that every dollar given back to a low-income or middle-income family in tax cuts comes back into our economy at approximately $2. And every dollar given back to somebody who makes over $250,000 a year comes back into our economy at 75 to 80 cents on the dollar. So it's a losing proposition no matter how you slice it.
Oh, and that's
from the government.
That's just fuzzy math.
That's right. He was basing it on his experience helping rich people hide their money and not have to pay taxes when the tax rates were higher, and how hard work that is.
Yeah, and you know, for those of us who are waiters and waitresses, rich people don't tip very well either.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly. Meg Whitman talking to you. All right. All right. But we would like to once again thank you for all of the advertising dollars spent here on KTLK Los Angeles.
Although Johnny Depp,
we thank
very
you.
Good tipper.
Is he?
John? Yes, when he was in Chicago. He once gave an enormous tip to the guy.
Well, that was once. He's a good tipper all the time.
Mike and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning. The Republican governors of the Midwest are already at it trying to kill the high-speed rail, and what's happening is they're getting a kickback from all these people that they're screaming that we're going to lose jobs and stimulus, but they're already onto their same plan that they always are. They blame the outgoing Democratic governor for their failure before they even take over. They've already got a plan. They've already said in the paper that if he fails, it's because of the governor before him.
Yep, I know. They've got it all said. Oh, by the way, here I do have evidence that Republicans generally bad tippers, and that would be my 87-year-old Republican mom. I believe my family, every time we've ever had to go out to dinner with her, and she paid for it, we would leave money because we're like, Mom, you can't tip a dime.
This isn't the country club.
You can't. Oh, well, for heaven's sakes, they get paid. That's too much, Steffi. And then she tries to take money back if I leave too much. Oh, Steffi, that's too much.
A dollar. That's,
you don't need to leave.
You don't need to leave paper money.
Okay, my mom has never actually said you don't need to leave paper money.
I have a coin purse full of pennies.
For just this sort of situation. Okay.
Shall I send this audio to your mom?
She doesn't listen. She doesn't even know what I do for a living. 17 minutes after the hour. Let's keep it that way. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
My opinion is you're nuts.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And I put my. Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour.
I put my hand up on your ass, and then when nothing runs.
Pretend that it's your hip, and I missed a little bit. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Andy Borowitz tweets.
What do Carnival Cruise Lines and Arnold Schwarzenegger have in common?
What?
They're both trapped in California with no power.
Wow!
Hey!
And also, I displaced the same amount of water as a Carnival cruise ship.
Because of all that HGH. That you and Daryl Issa have been doing.
Allegedly. Meg Whitman was kind of the Carnival Cruise of California, wasn't
yeah.
she? Whee! Kind of the Titanic meets the clouds. Hey, how's about, though? They're getting off the boat, aren't they, today in San Diego? Yikes.
Yeah, in fact, they're pulling in up to the dock right now.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's not going to be some happy people.
No, that would...
There'll be a lot of stinky people getting off the
boat. Yeah, ooh, have yeah. them... oh, boy. The Tweeties went out, apparently. Yep. Haven't talked to Hal Sparks, who said that his flight was so turbulent that everybody on the plane vomited and one guy pooped.
He pooped his pants.
In his pants.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't have showers on this boat either, so...
Right.
Everybody stinks that way, too.
Ooh, I can smell it from here up in Los Angeles. All right. Wow, I didn't tell you the other adjunct to this whole... It isn't amazing how stupid the media is. The whole George Bush becomes not about his disastrous presidency or his war crimes... It's all about Kanye West. So then Kanye West apparently was mad at Matt Lauer. He said, he tried to force my answers. It was very brutal, and I came there only with positive intent. Hang on. I felt very alone, very used, very tortured, very forced, very misunderstood, very hollow, very, very misused. I don't trust anyone but myself. Everyone has an agenda. I don't do press anymore. I can't be everything to everybody anymore. We're lucky he even performs for us. Okay. Can I just say he and George Bush are giant asshats, and I don't need to hear anything more from either one of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Leave her alone! You're lucky she even performed for you, bastard!
Hey, you're right. The new website, what is it? WTF has Sarah Palin done so far.com?
Yeah.
I'm going to it right now. WTF has Sarah Palin done so far. Palin said Obama should not be meeting with Indians. This isn't Thanksgiving. Not true, but funny. Go, Palin, go. What else? And then you click through and there's
yeah.
another thing.
yeah.
Okay. All right. By the by, Supreme Court Justice Sam Alito.
Yeah.
This is very disturbing, can I just say, among the, you know, our Supreme Court justices, aren't they supposed to not be... political? Let's leave off the crazy Jenny Thomas and her whole political activism and how disturbing that is.
Yeah.
The American Spectator, you remember that magazine,
mm-hmm.
known for its role in the Arkansas Project, a well-funded effort to invent stories with the goal of eventually impeaching President Clinton, held its annual gala fundraising event. Spectator publisher, of course, is leading a secretive group of conservatives called the Conservative Action Project, formed right after Obama's election to help lobby for conservative legislative priorities and elect Republicans, yada, yada. Keynote speaker, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito.
Huh.
Seems a little weird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can they be impeached for that sort of thing?
In 2008, Alito headlined the Spectator's annual gala then as well. He spent much of that speech apparently ripping then-Vice President Joe Biden as a serial plagiarizer.
Wow.
As Alito entered the event, I believe it was Think Progress, asked him why he thought it was appropriate to attend such a highly political fundraiser with the chairman of the Republican Party, given Alito's position on the court. Alito appeared baffled and replied, "It's not important that I'm here."
Mm. Wow.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of is.
Maybe he just shook his head and mouthed, "That's not true."
It's not true.
What? Not yes, true. It is true. You're here. I can see you. I'm talking to you.
That's not true.
Unbelievable.
It's
I mean, these,
not true.
I mean, right when you're trying to impeach Earl Warren because...
Yeah.
It was for, I guess, because of civil rights.
Yes, and some of those, they you know, voted out those crazy judges in Iowa because they thought, I don't know, all people, like even gay people, ought to have equal rights or something.
Supreme Court justices should not be attending political events
I know.
Like that.
What's so
that?
After the gala, they tried to approach him with a video camera in hand to ask him about the ethical issues raised by his right-wing political fundraising. Before they could come close, his security guards threatened me and threatened me with arrest, according to the, I believe...
Arrest?
Arrest?
Yes, maybe he borrowed Joe Miller...
For misuse of their First Amendment rights.
Yes.
Wow.
Maybe he doesn't have such a fine understanding, which you would think he might have to, being on the Supreme Court and all.
Apparently he doesn't understand the Constitution.
Maybe he borrowed Joe Miller's private security.
Well, remember the right wing wants to get rid of the First and 14th Amendments.
Hmm. Apparently, Alito is a regular benefactor for highly political conservative fundraisers. Last year, he headlined the fundraising dinner for the Intercollegiate Studies Institute. That's the same corporate front that funded the rise of dirty trickster James O'Keefe and anti-masturbation activist Christine O'Donnell.
Again, why do Democrats have no spine? Why are they just sitting by, okay, well, I guess that's fine.
Obama needs to bare his teeth on this, too.
Documents exposed by Think Progress last month revealed that Justice Scalia and Justice Thomas have also attended secret political fundraisers.
Obama wants to reach out to Scalia and Thomas and see if we move in their direction a little bit.
Yes. All right. Meanwhile, a lot of talk about the disarray in the Democratic Party. Oh, the Republican Party. My goodness. Over there at the RNC. Republicans are aggressively recruiting a challenger to RNC Chairman Michael Steele.
Yes.
They must decide in January whether to keep Steele. They are considering a chairman who would operate, as they say, more behind the scenes and let the boner take the lead as the party's main spokesperson. I'm good. They're both equally douche-nozzly. I'm happy with either of them being the face of the Democratic Party. One Republican establishment type said, I think we need to move to a nuts-and-bolts type of candidate who will get back to the fundamentals, who will make the trains run on time and raise money. I'd rather have that than a talking head who wants to be the face of the party. Steele has met with reporters and touted the RNC's that he's taken credit for the midterms, apparently. The analyst said, well, some of those victories were in spite of Steele.
Yes, yeah.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, look at you. You got old.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joe in Chicago. Hi, Joe. Welcome.
Hello. Hi. The thing that gets me is that I just read about Obama and how he is going to give in with the tax cuts. Well, why are they so spineless? If they stood up, put it to a vote, the middle class, no rich, guess what? The people will support him. But instead, what does he do? Nothing. He just gives in to the Republicans.
What are you talking about? We obviously haven't voted yet on tax cuts, so we don't know what he's going to do yet.
I know, but it was the big thing that all the advisors are saying they're going to give in, that they're going to do the entire, you know,
hasn't happened yet.
Middle class and rich, and it's just frustrating.
It hasn't happened yet, though.
But everyone's saying it's going to.
Not everybody,
know.
No.
Well, let's preemptively criticize the president for what he hasn't done yet. I understand your frustration, Joe, however. The president talking...
Wait until he sells out before you accuse him of it.
Yes,
right, exactly.
Exactly.
Wait until he doesn't before you get mad.
The worst thing that could happen to the world economy, not ours, not just ours, but the entire world's economy, is if we end up being stuck with no growth or very limited growth.
By the way, more importantly than the world economic catastrophe,
mm-hmm.
How the hell has Crystal Palin lasted this long on Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, she's in the top four, isn't she?
She sucks ass. The Daily Beast says her longevity is due to Republican plot. Jim, any thoughts on that?
I don't know.
Well,
how
Tom DeLay's not on there anymore, yeah. So...
I don't know how they take the tallies on that.
Yes,
so.
He's dancing right off to prison. Hasn't his trial started?
Not yet.
She says it's crazy how far she's come. It's crazy.
Cuckoo bananas.
Mm-hmm. She says it's because of her, she's the biggest uncelebrity.
Mm.
That's why.
Well, she's kind of a celebrity.
Mm.
Maybe she should quit, just like her mom.
That'd be funny if she quit, like, right in mid-number.
Just, yes.
You know what? I quit.
Yeah.
All right.
In the family.
Noted Sarah Palin impersonator, Tina Fey.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give her a big round of applause. She just won she's the youngest person ever to have won the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor.
That's right, from the Kennedy Center.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, which she said the Kennedy Center was soon going to be turned into the Tea Party bowling alley and rifle range. So, and she also said she didn't feel worthy, saying that she assumed Betty White was disqualified for steroid use.
Steroids are a running theme throughout today's show, aren't they?
All right, top earning list? What is it? Is it the Forbes? Yes, the Forbes list. Oprah Winfrey is still the highest earning woman in Hollywood.
Of course, well, yes.
Wow, she only made $324 million this year.
In 1 year.
But she was still able to eke out a win as the number one. Number two, Beyonce, $89 million, thanks to all you single ladies.
All the single ladies each donated a dollar.
Apparently.
Did you really just hear about that song last month?
I just love it. It's
okay,
because
it came out a few years ago, you know.
I know.
Okay.
Britney Spears made $65 million last year.
She toured.
Year? Wow.
She toured.
Lady Gaga, $64 million, also obsessed with Poker Face. You know, I'm just saying. It just happened to be the latest. And Madonna, the old gal, still coming in at $59.9 million.
And the Stephanie Miller Show is where on that?
Hello? We had to mooch food off the Rich Ratling host next door this morning. He has a
free food. Oh yeah!
Oh
my
God! He has his show catered.
Yeah, please, sir. Can I have some more?
Can I have some more porridge? We're in Progressive Radio.
Although I made the mistake of taking plain yogurt off the thing. I'm like, blah, please.
You're supposed to mix it with the granola. Oh, you did, and it still wasn't.
It still wasn't good.
Look at you, you ingrate.
What?
You hobo. You progressive hobo. You should be thankful for whatever kind
of yogurt the quiche and pineapple
rich right-wing host gives you.
The quiche and pineapple was good.
Shut your yap. It's a whole new day. Be thankful for what you get.
When are you going to cater the show?
Well, you'd be kidding.
When I steal 40,000 of his watts so I can get his ratings.
Her catering would be oatmeal and cottage cheese, which is what you eat anyway.
Exactly.
Linda in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. We will be catered with cat food shortly. The Stephanie Miller Show will be serving ass.
Yeah, you bleeped the wrong word again.
No, I didn't. You just got to hit one of them. Oh, I meant to say
holes.
Thank you. Yes. Linda in Louisiana, hello.
Hi, Stephanie. This is Linda, and the only way I can get you down here, of course, is on Sirius. But
yes, exactly, and that's why I have to eat cat food, and the right-wing host has a caterer.
I understand. But Bobby Jindal, our great governor, well, we
your governor slash exorcist? Uh-huh. Your governor slash exorcist?
Yes, uh-huh. He is going to be running so he can run out of the state as quick as he can for RNC chair.
Oh, boy.
I don't know that he would be good, because he's still tainted by that whole volcano monitoring thing. Nationally, he is.
They do need an exorcist at the RNC, though.
But he's made us in such a mess in terms of the budget down here that he's got to run.
I think they should get Kenneth from 30 Rock and see if anyone notices.
I saw him on TV, Linda, with all those great big stimulus checks that he took credit for.
Yes, he does that also, but he doesn't tell anybody where he's getting it from.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Linda.
Stimulus is bad and communistic. Oh, look at this big check.
Look at me.
You're
welcome. I signed it myself with my giant pen. Okay. Yeah, he's volcano monitoring, and that's crazy.
And then a volcano blew up.
Is that green screen, or did the volcano just blow up right behind him? Right, as he was saying that.
A volcano did go off in Alaska,
two weeks after he said that.
Less than that, I think.
Maybe there is a god.
Speaking of Alaska, once again, Sarah Palin, the most polarizing of the potential Republican presidential candidates.
You betcha.
According to a new Associated Press poll, Palin, 46% of Americans view her favorably, 49% unfavorably. Here's the 5% don't know enough about her to form an opinion. Yeah, you hardly see her anywhere.
Just watch Tina Fey imitate her, and that's all you need
to
know.
Pretty much
it. That's the whole thing right there.
Here's the good news. Among adults, Republicans or Republican-leaning independents, 79% view her favorably. Yes, yes, go with her.
Mm-hmm.
The findings worry many Republican officials. No, don't worry. Be brave.
Ooh, dive in. Don't think about it. What's the worst that could possibly happen? Yeah. Oh, she'll quit.
The poll suggests Palin may be able to win the nomination. She won't just suspend her campaign like John Mitchell's quit.
She would just quit in the middle of the inaugural address.
My fellow Americans, I gotta go.
Oh, God, it's cold here. Ick. What do you mean I can't use my snow machine on the White House lawn? Let's go.
All right, bye-bye.
Yes, the poll suggests Palin might be able to win the nomination, but among independents, just 43% hold a favorable view of her compared with 61% with a favorable view of President Obama.
I don't think those are really independents, if 43% of them have a favorable view of Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
They're saying, oh, I'm not a Republican, but...
Yeah, I listen to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Joe in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
You just mentioned Oprah as being, you know, one of the wealthiest. But have you noticed?
Not one of. The wealthiest. Yes.
Yeah. She has not mentioned Barack. She has not defended him. But yet she's the one who kind of pushed him into office.
Well, she doesn't do a political show.
Well, she doesn't. Okay. Could she do it on her network and have a political show?
Does she what?
She's not going to have a political show on her network.
Yeah, Oprah's never really done politics. I mean, she got involved. That was actually the first time she got involved in a campaign. But I mean,
She's an American, and it's her right.
You don't watch the Oprah, do you? Because it's a chick thing, right?
I'm usually at work during that time, and she is kind of obnoxious at times.
Okay. I bet you are not one of her favorite things either, Joe.
I guess not.
All right, thank you, Joe. All right.
Did,
yeah.
Did he think he was trying to catch you in a something?
Apparently.
Huh. Mm. Didn't work.
Bill in Venice.
By the way, there's TiVo. If you really want to.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning, Stephanie.
Yes, Bill.
Yeah. Hi. It's Veterans Day, and
excuse me.
I just wanted to call and see if I may be the official Marine Corps drill instructor of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. Don't you wish that Marine Corps drill instructor therapist that throws a box of Kleenex at the guy could...
Your jack wagon!
Could be on hand anytime John Boehner speaks on the House floor.
Lee Ermey, yes.
Happy birthday, dear Jesus.
Perhaps. But anyhow, Steph, I just wanted to say, you know, you really are. You're my jump start every morning.
Thank you.
You know, you've got the very special people around you. I'm talking Jim and Chris and Rebecca.
Thank you.
Someone that I never hear, but you refer to Shano. Mm.
Yes, he's the montage maker, the official montage maker.
On Friday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
For me, it's absolutely the perfect blend of levity and intellect.
Thank you.
Cool.
So let me say to all of you, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Bill, for your service. And happy Veterans Day, Bill.
Hey, thanks a lot, Steph.
And thank you for your taste in broadcasting. Ah, ha, ha.
Well, that should be a promo. Someone should cut that together into a promo, I would think.
You are very special people. You are very, very special. You are particularly special this morning. Hmm. All right. What?
Never mind.
I'm complimenting you.
You were talking in a short buzz sense.
No,
yes, you were.
I was not. You see where you went there? That's not where I was going there.
You,
I have to give her
you
money
put us in the short bus before.
No.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. All right. In fact, to reward you for your specialness, I'm going to send you on a cruise for the holidays. Just kidding. It's the poopy cruise, the one that just docked.
Although I wouldn't mind going on the progressive cruise that David Bender's putting together.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you beg him for a ticket?
You wouldn't give me time off to take a cruise.
No. You're right.
Yeah, okay. I know. That's why I didn't even bother asking.
All right. All right. We will talk about Wolf candidate, sore loser in Alaska, Joe Miller, as we continue right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Don't forget, tomorrow, Friday's with Fuglesang. John Fuglesang joins us all 3 hours. Mm-hmm. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12 is the phone number. James in Albany, you're on the Stephanie Miller
Steph. Show. Chris, morning. Hello, again.
Go ahead.
Hey, listen, this quiz is more for Chris. But, Chris, in your words, how would you define the difference between a progressive and a Democrat?
To me, they're interchangeable, actually.
Well, their degrees.
Not real. I don't know. I think progressive and liberal are interchangeable. I think people, that's one of the things that shows how we can be pussies, that we get scared of being called liberal.
Right.
Read that great quote by JFK. It's like, okay. So, you know, progressive is a word, so it doesn't sound so scary.
Because it says progress, right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's magical.
Liberalism. Libertine.
All right.
Libération, which is French.
Exactly.
Liberty.
It's
égalité, fraternité.
It means ennui.
It means liberty. It means free to do, you know.
I would like to salute some fine Americans this morning. The sex toy drive-through.
What?
Pleasure is a one-stop romance shop that challenged Alabama's ban on sex toys, has a new unique claim to fame. It will feature 3 sex toy drive-through lanes.
Mm. Would you like fries with that?
Mm. We celebrate them on this Veterans Day.
Exactly. Pleasure's owner, Sherry Williams, said the store will be the first such store in the country to sell adult toys through a drive-through window.
Wow.
Oh, boy, are they going to have those same bad microphones, though?
Did you say dildo or clitoris?
Say it into the clown's mouth. Into the clown's mouth.
Do something into the clown's mouth.
Well.
Items such as toys, lubes, and stimulants will be delivered through the drive-thru drawer in a brown paper bag. Williams said... Williams and her
with
store...
With napkins, hopefully.
Drew national attention, and then you drive off. You're like, oh!
I didn't want cheese. I'm like, you know...
Wasn't the line from Lethal Weapon, you always get screwed in the drive-thru?
There you go.
Was that the line?
Oh, I asked for... Oh.
They always screw you in the drive-thru? Something like that.
I asked for the...
I didn't want mayo. Oh, that's not mayo.
Never mind.
Williams and her store drew national attention during a long legal fight that sought to overturn Alabama's ban on sex toys on the grounds of a constitutional right to privacy. The case went to the U.S. Supreme Court. The court chose not to hear it, effectively leaving the ban intact. The Alabama Supreme Court last year upheld the ban. So I don't know how you... I guess the drive-thru is a clever way around that.
Alabama getaway.
Yes, drive-thru vibrator is different, I guess. Williams said customers cannot purchase the sex... Oh, here's how she got around it. Customers cannot purchase a sex toy unless they fill out a medical questionnaire describing the health-related reason for the purchase.
Rickets. I have rickets.
Yes.
Okay, good enough.
Okay.
Rickets,
good.
Rabies,
done.
Scabies.
Okay, done. You have eczema, seborrhea, and psoriasis, and therefore you need a blaster. Okay.
Creutzfeldt Jakob, Steinberg, Flavin.
Flavin in the flarg. Okay.
I asked my doctor if it was right for me, and she said, oh, yeah.
Yes, more
oh,
than...
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I encourage more than 4 hours. Go for it. Okay, Alaskan Wolf candidate, sore loser, Joe Miller.
It needs to be the same standard that we've applied before here in Alaska, and we shouldn't be changing the rules as we go just because an incumbent senator is in the process of trying to win an election.
Why do right-wingers always have that pompous speech affectation? It somehow makes them sound more authentic
He's crying like a little baby wolf.
Yes. He's suing in a federal court to prevent the state from counting any write-in ballots in which the candidate's name is not spelled precisely.
Lisa Murkowski.
Voting.
Oh, come on. You can determine the voter's intent. Like Lisa Murkowski. Oh, they met Joe
obviously.
Miller.
Obviously. Yeah, obviously.
Obviously.
Voting should not be a spelling bee.
Yeah. It is kind of a big soup with stuff thrown against the wall, like my mom's vegetable soup. Every year she puts something new in it. What the hell is that? Those ankles? What is that, Mom?
What?
Eye sockets. What the?
What? Mom? Holes? How did that get in there? The lawsuit was filed Tuesday just as officials were set to begin counting Alaska's write-in ballots.
Ew.
And with Miller trailing write-ins in the initial returns, including thousands of absentee votes, as of the most recent vote counts Tuesday, write-ins held a 5.5% advantage over Miller, with absentee and early votes from Juneau, Nome, and Fairbanks left to be counted.
Write-in votes for Miller, but they would spell it with a U umlaut.
All right.
Müller.
Take care now.
Josef
bye
Müller
bye
als Gauleiter. Jawohl.
All right. Bye-bye, loser wolf. All right.
We'll have to leave it there.
No, not that wolf.
Oh, different wolf.
Different wolf altogether.
All right. I wonder if he's going to have his private security force arrest people that are trying to count the write-in ballots. Hey, how about this? An Ohio college student who hacked into Bill O'Reilly's website has been sentenced to 30 months in prison.
Huh. George Bush, not a minute in prison.
And must pay $40,000.
Daryl Issa, not a minute in prison.
Nope. No. Oh, and you mean noted steroid user and car thief and toupee wearer?
Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
Allegedly? Daryl Issa? Well, I have just as much evidence as he has to
go
forward
say
with this investigation.
He got his expertise on stealing cars somewhere.
Do you see what he's investigating? Acorn, which doesn't exist anymore.
And had nothing to do with voter fraud.
Oh, and there bribing Joe Sestak, which didn't happen. So
he should investigate the Black Panthers while he's at it.
Your tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen. All right, here's the other headline, what they're working on. House Republicans name program that already expired as the first spending item they would cut.
Oh, good.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Good job. Okay. Meanwhile, we talked about the debt commission.
Oh, wow. This
the
is...
The bipartisan debt commission.
Wow.
Erskine Bowles, the co-chair.
We do cut spending, and we cut spending wherever we find it, whether it's in the defense budget, the non-defense budget, in entitlements, or in the tax code.
Like Social Security.
Yes, a bunch of things are in
there. We've tried to put a balanced approach out there. It takes $4 trillion out of the budget. We've dealt with health care, we've dealt with Social Security, and we have put forward a proposal that reforms the tax code. We lower rates. We take rates down to 8, 14, and 23. And we take the corporate rate down to 26, which makes America the best place to start and own a business.
Yes, but you get rid of all deductions. Even the mortgage deduction.
Yeah.
They get rid of that.
Exactly, the mortgage deduction. And on top of it, it's reducing annual cost of living increases for Social Security, mm-hmm. gradually raising the retirement age to 69, and then, as you say, the tax break, such as the mortgage interest deduction.
Well, also, charitable giving deductions. Charitable giving is going to just... plummet.
Yeah. I agree with Jan Schakowsky, the rockin' congresswoman of Illinois.
Now, I agree that we have to do something that the debt and the deficit are unsustainable, but this is not the way to do it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Of course, conservadem Kent Conrad likes it.
So, I give him very high marks for being bold and producing a plan that does get us back on a sustainable course.
It's not a sustainable course if you're eating cat food.
Alan Simpson, the other co-chair.
It's all there. We have harpooned every whale in the ocean and some of the minnows.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Joe Barton, BP apologist on the...
I can't see that all the stimulus spending has done much except raise the public debt.
Except for save the auto
industry.
Which the
American taxpayers are going to have to pay back in the next 30 or 40 years.
You are an idiot!
Yeah, I can't see what it's... It's only saved, I don't know, how many millions of jobs, but other than that... All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer Chris LaBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, Miranda Moreno, in for Rebecca Taylor. We will see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.